You happy to be in church?
Yeah.
Good. Amen. I got a good message for you tonight. I believe the Lord's got some very specific things for us, you know, and I'm excited to get into what, actually this came, it was interesting. I was talking to my mom and we were talking about some things and all of a sudden these things just started rolling out of my spirit. And I told her, I was like, I got to go. I got to start writing some stuff down because the Spirit of God's talking to me here, and I got to get some stuff out. You know, I don't think I told her all that, but that's how the message came. Amen. And I almost sent out the slick text a day early. You know, I was just like, oh, I'm going to send it out right now because I'm so excited. But you know, sometimes you have to wait, and that's good. But praise the Lord, hallelujah. Tonight's message is called "What Are Works." Amen. And we're going to be talking about works a little bit differently than what works usually get talked about, what we usually talk about them. I'm giving you all brand new revelation. Nobody has ever heard this stuff before. And so if you come here tonight expecting you're really going to get something, that's just a joke, of course. But we're just going to, there's some different side of works. Amen. And that's what the Lord has put on my heart. But, you know, this really has to do with our interaction and partially our interaction with the ministry offices. You know, I'm going to use the word ministry offices or the phrase ministry offices and not specifically, you know, say your pastor or anything like that, because there's... I want to look at it from that standpoint. We need to understand that the thing that happens before us, praise the Lord if anything happens before us, that that's not never the man or the woman that stands in the pulpit, but it's the Spirit that God has put on them. Amen? The things that He wants to accomplish, you know. I said to my wife, we were talking about this, I don't know, yesterday, today, or, you know, sometime in the past week, who knows? Days anymore. I don't know if they exist, but we were talking about how you know the ministry. I'm so thankful for the pastoral office. I'm thankful that I get to interact with it myself. Amen. That as I, you know, sometimes there's just answers there. There's not sometimes, all the time. There's direction there. There's just things that you don't get necessarily without the office. And there also is a weight that comes with that, because you also are, you have to deliver that to the people, and you got to help the people with things. Amen. It's for them. It's not for you. And sometimes it takes us a while to learn that, amen, and some ministers never learn it, but the office that God places in our life is for the people, and so we want to receive from that the most that we can, amen? We want to get out of that. Now, I know I talked about possibly going some directions coming up on Tuesday nights and stuff like that, but... you know, I endeavor to follow the Lord and get into what He has specifically, because He's going to help us, and all these steps will get us there, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to start over there in James. You can find James for me. I've been looking for him. We drove down to Florida looking for him, and he wasn't down there, amen. But praise God, James 2, verse 6. He was here all along, amen. What's that with that sunshine, amen. James 2, verse 6. Is that right? Yeah, it's right. No, it's not right. Don't lie to me when I'm in the pulpit. What is this King James Version stuff? Did we break everything here this week when I was gone? Yeah, Pastor Scott. Thanks a lot, Pastor Scott. I knew the anointing fell in here tonight. Amen. That's all right. It gives them time to learn how to do this. Amen. We want James 2:26. Amen. And there we go in the, well, there's James 2:6 in the New King James. Back there, they're just scrambling, you know how it goes, but they're doing great. Praise the Lord. You're doing awesome back there. Praise the Lord. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen. It is so true. You know, there's so much that we could say about this scripture. There's so much that we could say of this, but I have found that over and over and over again, the disconnect between the people and what God wants to do is in the works. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times when we look at works, we think about the works that, you know, the works that we do, like, you know, I'm coming here and preaching and that's a work, and you may go out and evangelize to somebody or something like that, and that's a work, and you may read your Bible and that's a work, and you might pray and that's a work, or you might give to the poor and that's a work. Of course, that's what we always think of as works, but there's another side of works that aren't those things at all. There's the works of how we connect to the things of God, how we connect to what God has given us. what we do with what God shows us specifically. And so as we come here tonight, this is kind of the focus that we're on, is more what we do with the direction that we get. More what we do with, you know, there's so much in the, there's so much I've seen as I've talked to other Christians out there, so many ideas that are off. I was just recently talking to a Christian, and he was talking about the reasons why he doesn't need a pastor. You know, how he doesn't come to church to hear from a pastor. And there is an aspect of that is right, but there's a big aspect of that is wrong. And usually the way that people mean it's wrong. We need those offices in our lives. If we don't have those offices in our lives, we don't have balance in our lives. You know, everything that people get off, my wife and I were talking about different things. You know, there's all kinds of things about the coronavirus vaccine that people are talking about. More importantly, we need the office of the pastor. We need what it brings to our lives. But, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years, and I'm thinking about what order that I want to say all this in, but, you know, because I really have a lot in me that I want to get out. But one of the things that I've learned over the years is it's not just being in the presence of a pastor that matters, but it's how we connect to that office, how we receive from those things. You know, I was thinking about my family. My family receives from me generally very well. And it's, I'm talking about my family that comes to church, and it's a blessing that they do. And, you know, that's a hard thing because sometimes, or it can be a hard thing because sometimes, you know, there's a natural side of me too, right? I'm not always the spiritual giant that you see before you tonight, glory to God. Of course, that's a joke as well. Somebody could clip that out, and that's why I could never be president. But, you know, there's that was funnier than you gave me credit. There we go. But there's they see the natural side of me, or the side that's not anointed, so to speak. You know, and they still have to learn how to receive, even though they can see. And I've had to learn that with my pastors. I spent lots of time with him. You know, I see a natural side of him. There's times when we're together and, you know, we're joking around, and it's just very very not spiritual, so to speak. I'm not sinful, but, you know, not spiritual, so to speak. But then there's that other side. But I've also seen him, you know, I've often talked about when we've traveled together and we're, you know, when we start off, it's always like we're talking, we're having these great spiritual conversations. And by the end of a week of being together, a lot of times we're sitting in the airport, backs turned to each other, you know, just on our phones, not saying anything at all. And sometimes that side of it too, you know, where people are tired and stuff like that. But, you know, there are things for us to get out of it, and how we connect to what specifically, how we connect specifically to what the transaction that is being processed, and how we see that. We have to understand that when we come to church, it is a transaction. That there's we come with something, but we also receive something and leave with something, or at least we should. Amen. And that's based on how we decide in our heart that we're going to receive from that. Amen. And there's so many things that I could say about that, but I want to stay in this vein here. One of the things, and I was saying this to my mom yesterday as we were talking, and this is kind of partial where it was born out of, is I was talking about people and what they hear when you know we met, when I like I minister or there's another minister here. People have to perceive, but then they also have to participate.
Yeah.
You know, it's you can listen to what is said. There's a lot of people, like, you know, you will tell them as a pastor, somebody will come to you and say, I have this issue in my life. And you'll say, well, here's your answer. And you give them a scripture. And they're like, okay, now what do I do with that? Yeah. They'll look at the scripture. Okay, yeah, but I need this to change in my life.
Yeah.
And you gave me a scripture, and I'm not quite seeing it. And see, there's a perceiving, but there's also a participation with the word. We can't just hear the word. You know, there's plenty of people that can read the word. There's plenty of people that can memorize the word. But there's a whole difference when you get the word on the inside of you. And how precisely do you do that? It's really not a difficult thing, but it starts with what Jesus said. Was it over there in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first. No, that's King James Version. What's it say? What's it say in the American version? Seek first. That's right. Praise God, hallelujah. I just got any jab at that I could take. It's not really bad. If you read the King James, you're still going to heaven probably. Praise the Lord. I'm like the only family church pastor that doesn't use the King James Version. And I don't use it probably for that purpose, so I could be the only one who, you know, doesn't use it. Amen. Not really. I just do it because you can understand the New King James Version. That's my point. But, well, praise God anyways. Seek first the kingdom. That wasn't the scripture I was thinking of. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that they shall be filled. It's in the same area. Amen. It's a few scriptures before, but glory to God. But, you know, those who hunger and thirst, those who truly crave and desire to know God, when you come, if you look at this word, if you look at the hearing of this word as this is a transaction, this is God speaking to me, this is literally God, when he wants to talk to me, you know, when the Lord wants to talk to me, he talks to me through the word.
Yeah.
You know, people, a lot of people don't realize, like, a supernatural process happens in my life every single day. God delivers a scripture to me and it's supernatural. But then he gives me an understanding. And the way that he does it, it's quite amazing with, you know, I love the way God talks to me.
Yeah.
Amen. It's just like when you're in love with somebody and you like the way that they're talking to you. That's exactly how I look at God. I'm in love with the Lord and I love the way that he talks to me, the language that he has. You know, my wife and I have, we have pet names for each other. I don't remember what they are at the moment, but we have them. I know that we do. We call each other these names once in a while, amen? And we both like it. Was it the other day I said to you, you just started calling me that, right? I was joking and I was annoying you when I was saying it, but she's called me, you know, certain things for years. They're good. Amen. Praise them, mostly anyways. The things that get repeated are good anyways, but you know, I love that language and it blesses me when she speaks to me in that language. And,
yeah.
and I always know that things are good when she speaks to me in that language, because when things are not good, she doesn't speak to me in that language. Amen. And it's the same thing as with God. When he talks to us, when he wants to impart with us, he will tell us things in a certain way that we can understand it. But we have to participate in that. We have to perceive that that's what's going on, and we have to participate in those things. Amen. We need to recognize what God is telling us through those who he has placed in our lives to speak to us. And this is one of the greatest reasons why we need to come together and hear the word, because when God connects you somewhere, he's going to speak to you, and he's going to, in fact, I'll just tell you this, people who don't have or haven't known a true pastoral relationship won't truly be able to hear from God. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't know if that's all scriptural, but it is, and I'll tell you how we know that, because of what we're going to get into tonight, but also through the whole entire New Testament. That's how God delivered the whole New Testament.
Yes.
You notice one thing that Jesus didn't do is he didn't speak supernaturally to everybody that was a Christian, did he? There was a lot of Christians that gave their lives and never had Jesus come down and spend hours dictating them to them how, you know, all these things work. A lot of these people gave their lives based on the testimony of men and women who the Lord did speak to, amen, who he called and put into place. In fact, we go to the counsel of the word, and so often we think, well, we're going to the word of God. It's the word of God, and the pastor is preaching the word of God. Yes, this is true, but you have to remember that this was still delivered to us through men and women.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think there's any women authors in the Bible, but, you know, the word was preached through them, amen.
Yeah.
And this was delivered to us in that same way. And so we have to understand that that's how God has designed it to be. He designed it to be that way on purpose. God has a plan and he has a purpose in those things. And the quicker that we can embrace that, the quicker... I'm trying to get too far ahead in my message. I think probably because I'm afraid I'm not going to get it all out. Amen. Amen. But we need to recognize that God is what God is telling us through those who he has placed in our lives to speak to us. Now, that does not mean that everything I'm ever going to speak to you, if I'm your pastor, everything I'm ever going to speak to you is going to be God. It doesn't mean that. And you should not look at me as God. You should not look to me for all your answers. You know, there was a time when I am connected to some really wonderful men and women of God. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the connections that I have. I don't always appreciate them like I should. I don't always like them when they're correcting me and stuff like that. But I'm so appreciative for the connections that I have. God has done a wonderful thing through those. But I remember one time specifically, I was desiring to know something more, and I was like, if only I could talk to Reverend Greer about this. If only I could talk to Pastor Nancy about this. If only I could talk to so and so. And the Lord said to me, I remember very clearly in my spirit, I heard, why don't you ask me? Yeah. So there is a side of things that, yes, obviously we get from God. But you know, those things, especially until we know how to hear God's voice, we need help. We need help in filtering those things. God has given us, this is really, the ministry offices are a fail-safe to keep us from being squirrely, disconnected, weird, off on our own, coming up with some kind of revelation that isn't revelation at all. Every revelation I get, I submit to someone. Yeah. If I can't submit it, then there's a problem with it. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. If I got some secret thing that I can't tell anybody else, that's why I love my pastor, because he's given me a line where I never have to worry about presenting something to him. I sat with him, and it was just recently, for about two, three hours. I think we were at Bob Evans in Jamestown. We were just sitting there talking, and I was laying out some revelation, and he wasn't necessarily going along with all of it. But that's okay. That keeps us straight, amen? But in that, I found balance. And it wasn't because he was correcting everything I said, because he wasn't. But just in that interaction... Amen. There's a transaction that happens, and we have to understand that there's a transaction that happens between us. Amen. God uses connections to nudge us along in our faith walk. How we connect to that makes all the difference in the world. Connecting to your pastor or connecting to a minister in the pulpit does not mean that you have to be their best friend, that you have to eat dinner with them every time. I love getting to eat dinner or lunch with y'all, or getting an opportunity to do so, or to spend time with people. I love to do that. But obviously, you just can't do that all the time with everybody all the time. You know, there's not enough hours to do so. We have to understand, though, that it's much more than that. That there's, it's a greater relationship than that. You know, if we need friends, we should seek friends where friends are found. Amen. But when we come for this, when we come together, I have to expect these things too. And it's weird, because as a person who doesn't want to expect that of myself, I don't want to expect myself to be here. So it's not about me either. I don't stand here in the pulpit for me. If any of you know me, you would know that that was the last thing that I wanted to do. And still a lot of times is the last thing that I want to do, naturally speaking. But I've aligned my will, amen. And that doesn't mean that I hate it either. I've aligned my will, and I do embrace it and enjoy it, amen. But it does take getting over the flesh to put yourself in a position that you're not naturally accustomed to. But it's a fail-safe for us, amen. I'm not trying to build my own kingdom, but I am an ambassador of Christ building his. You are here to hear and then hopefully do. And so when you come to the word, you want to hear from God. Yeah. That's how you expect you. But you know that God probably isn't going to stand in this pulpit in the physical sense, like he's in this pulpit. Yeah. But Jesus did say how they receive you is how they receive me. Yeah. And so there's a receiving that has to happen. I've told people things that I know are the truth and know the truth for their lives. And they've said, and I've watched them reject it for me. Because it was a man, or because they thought differently. Amen. And we need to be careful of those things. And I'm going to get into that later. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1. Amen. Now, messages like these, just so you know, are not necessarily messages that I love to preach. But these are messages that are very beneficial. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, these are what make the difference in our lives, understanding these things. Praise God. So we're in 2 Peter. We're going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. The knowledge of how they work, how they do things, how God has designed things to be. That knowledge is life-changing. That's where grace and peace is multiplied to us. Grace, of course, if you break it down simply, grace is the ability that God gives us that you didn't have. Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't understand it that way. They think of grace as a lot of things. Well, we're saved by grace. Yes, that's the ability to be saved, which you didn't have. And so God has placed that on your life. And so that's what grace is. Grace is God's ability working in your life. Yeah. That's it. That's the simplest form of what it is. And it's a wonderful thing. But also the other thing that comes with that is peace. Grace and peace come, they're multiplied to us in the knowledge of God. So now this is a really important thing for us to understand. They're not multiplied to us by some external force in the sense that we have to have something, some spiritual, goofy spiritual thing happen to us, that God has to come out of heaven or an angel has to come in here and lay hands on us or something like this. None of that stuff. Praise the Lord. These things are multiplied to us. Now, the laying on of hands can help and things like that, especially if there's an anointing to do so, obviously. But the primary way that we are to receive is through the knowledge, and really it's revelation knowledge, of God and Jesus our Lord. And that would include the way things have been set up. I said that would include the way things have been set up. You know, there's a lot of people we were talking, again, I've been talking to people, and there are a lot of people who say things, well, the early church, they didn't have church buildings. They also didn't have running water. They also didn't have flushable toilets. Thank God we have flushable toilets and running water. Amen? Praise the Lord. Church buildings are not the church. That's true. But church buildings are given to us. It is a blessing that we take for granted. You know, and if you go to China today, a church like ours can't even legally exist. If I was preaching like this in China in the open, I would be jailed and probably killed for doing so. You would probably be jailed for sitting there listening to it. And so we understand that there's certain places you can't even get that. See, we're spoiled in this country a little bit. Amen. And sometimes we let that go. We think, well, there's church and we just have church our way. We just do whatever we want to do. But that's not how God designed it to be. God never told us, he said, well, you go pick which flavor you like best, and then that's the flavor you eat. And when you're getting ice cream, that's fine. But when you're getting fed the word of God, you need what God has for you. Amen. You need to receive what God has for you. And that is going to be found, I'm going to tell you, in very few places. You can't find it anywhere. The last thing, especially as we travel around and stuff, we find a whole lot of places that I like being better than Mayville, New York. Yeah. Amen? There's a lot of places I can find that, especially when January, February come around. You know, there's a lot of places that I could rather be. Amen? But God has called us here. And so we embrace that. We don't just, I'm not here reluctantly. I'm not here just grudgingly like, okay, I'll be there, I guess, God. No, I thrive here and I have realization. That's one of the things my wife was telling you about when we're coming back from vacation. One of the things that always resets in me is that understanding and that knowledge that that is the place where God has called us to be. That even though there's these beautiful things we can see and experience, God has called us to be right here. And that's where everything in my life will be connected to that. Every blessing in my life will be connected to that. Amen? Praise the Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, there we see that again, who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given, or have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness. He's telling us to add these things, us to do these things, amen? To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we know about the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? It provides all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things that pertain to life and godliness. What do we need in life? We find it in these things. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I'm just a sinner. That's just who I am. No, you don't always fall short. You don't have to. When you add these things, when you embrace these things, glory to God. These will pull you into that area. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. I mean, we're all going to make mistakes at times. But glory to God. But God has got, there's a very special directive here. There's a very specific directive here. Now, the reason that I've gone through all these scriptures is to get to what I'm getting to now. Because all of that doesn't necessarily sound like what I've been talking about so far. But let's go on to what the scripture says. Verse 12 here, it says, and before mine, in my book, I don't know what it says in your Bible, but it says Peter's approaching death. Yeah. So Jesus, or Peter knows he's about to die. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Praise the Lord. Well, if we didn't need it, then why would he need to stir him up? Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So there's obviously, you know, when you could read into this, you can obviously look into these things and understand it more in depth. Peter's relationship with these people was not just passing. It wasn't something, well, okay, here's this preacher in town and he's saying these things. He's speaking to them like a father. He's speaking to them like somebody who's loved on them, and he's speaking to people who have received from him. Because obviously you wouldn't be saying, I don't say this stuff to a complete stranger. You know, when my grandfather passed just recently, I've told you about some of the last transactions that I had with him. And then specifically that last one where he imparted certain things to me, realized what was going on, that there was this spiritual transaction and he was making sure he was imparting those things to me. But you know something? I was the only one that he did that with. Yeah, exactly. I was the only one that received those things that he said. Now, that doesn't mean that others didn't receive things that perhaps they did, but I know specifically, and I know specifically because he told me specifically about some things, amen? But he was imparting some of those things to me. You don't do that. You don't leave that kind of impartation, and that kind of impartation was a stirring. That kind of impartation was a run harder, run faster, run stronger, run with more courage kind of thing. You know what I mean? That's not what he said, but that's what it encouraged me to do. It built up my faith, and it got me into that place. It stirred my faith. We need our faith stirred. Amen. But if I wasn't willing to listen, if they weren't willing to listen, if they're like, well, you know, he said all this kind of stuff before, I'm not even going to listen this time. Then they're not going to receive what he's imparting. Jesus did not purposely appear to each individual early Christian, but he did send ambassadors. The local church structure, not the building, not man's traditions, not rules of denominations, was set up by God. Yeah. This transaction was set up by God. Yeah. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a specific transaction in my life, and I just had one a come to pass. And most of you will know or remember, and if you don't, he was here, Pastor Noel Ramos was here several years ago now, and we were supposed to have him back, but then COVID happened and all that stuff, and so we've postponed it. But we will be having him back again. But Pastor Noel Ramos, many of you don't know that our relationship goes back much further than that. Now, he would come in with Dr. Dufresne would come in and visit the family churches, and he wasn't the minister who was there to be on display, so to speak, but he was there. He was actually there as a help, and he traveled with Dr. Dufresne. And one of my jobs back then, at that time when they were coming, I was an usher in the Jamestown Church, and Pastor had used me more and more different things, and I got to spend time with some of these ministers, and it was a real blessing. And I always saw it that way. I always saw each time I got to be around a man or woman of God that I could receive something from them. Amen. And so my wife and I, he sent my wife and I on the task of going to pick them up from the Pastor Ramos and his wife, Pastor Ruby, to pick them up from the hotel and bring them to the church for the evening services. And so we did that. And every night that we did that, we were so blessed to be able to be in that situation where we could be used to do so. Now, see, there's a lot of people who just think, oh, that's no big deal. But see, we were blessed because we knew that we were in the presence of something more. Amen. And it wasn't the man or the woman, but it was what God did. It was doing in their lives. And that stuff mattered to us. And so each day when we picked them up, it was about a 10-15 minute ride, depending on how fast I was driving. And I always try to make it more closer to 15, but you know, still get them there on time for church. But it was a 10 or 15 minute drive, and it was a 10 or 15 minute sermon every time. And it was just natural. It just poured. But you know, the thing is, and this is the thing that's important, we received it. We didn't just listen to it. We weren't just there, okay, you know, letting them talk to us. We received what they were saying. In our hearts, there is a spiritual transaction, and we're blessed. God, why did you pick us to be here? That's how we felt about it. Amen? And so that transaction happened, and that started forming a little bit of a bond that we didn't even know about. You know, fast forward years later, Doctor had gone home to be with the Lord, and we had been around Pastor Ramos many times, and I've been out to California to be in the prayer conferences, which I'm missing this week, unfortunately, but I'm missing them this week. They're having them, and you know, I was out there with him several times, and we've had many interactions over the years, but we always had this draw. We have to have him into our church. And I always was kind of reluctant on going about it, but I always said to him, I'd be like, Pastor Ramos, we'd love to have you in sometime. And he was like, yes, you know, he'd get excited about it and think about it too. But one time, my wife and I were out there for a prayer conference. Actually, my whole family was, but we were out there for the prayer conferences, and we were at a minister's dinner after one of the services. And it was the last service, and we were getting ready to go. And I saw Pastor Ramos across the room, and I wanted to go say bye to him. And so I went to say bye to him, and it was on my heart. And I just knew, like, the Lord was dealing with me on it. See, there's a spiritual transaction going on. Yeah. I knew that I had to do this, and I said, Pastor Ramos, we really want to have you, and we need to plan for it. And he said, I'm so glad that you said that, because I was thinking the Lord was speaking to me about the same thing. Yeah. And so we traded numbers, and within a few weeks, he was in an airport, and he called me, and he was very shy about it and very, just humble about it, didn't want to force himself into our church, but he just knew the Lord was speaking to him. And of course, if you were here for those services, there were some wonderful services. What's that? July of 2019, and they're probably on our archive, right? So you could go back and listen to him. But there are some wonderful services, but even the things that were imparted to us, we spent hours and hours and hours with this man. But every hour that we got to spend with him wasn't a burden. We were receiving from him, and we were getting all that we could. And in that time period, he was talking about this new revelation that he was receiving, or a deeper revelation, I should say. I hesitate to say new revelation. Again, it's easy for me to say, it wasn't new, but it was just a deeper revelation of something. How many know that there, there's deeper revelations of things that you can have a deeper understanding of things? Glory to God. Well, and I do have a point to the story. That's why I'm telling it. Amen. But as he was telling us about this, it really stirred something in our heart. And the Lord specifically put on my heart something to do for the man. Yeah. Amen. I'm just going to leave it at that, but specific, to do something specific, very specific, yeah, for the man. And we did that, and it was in the form of a gift, and it took time, we had to prepare it, and all these things. And so we did that, and then, of course, like I said, COVID happened. We wanted to give it to him in person. COVID happened, so we had to cancel the meetings that he was going to be here for those. And in each part of the story, this is really important. We prepared this gift for him, and we finally got to realize we're not going to see him for a long time. It's going to be a while still. And so we wanted to get it to him because now it's been almost 2 years. Yeah. Amen. And we want to get it to him because, like, it's just not, we got to put something on your heart. You shouldn't wait 2 years. Right. That was my fault. I got a little distracted with, worldwide pandemics and stuff like that, but we got back on course, and anyways, I prepared it. I said, Pastor Ramos, I'm sending you something, and you should get it soon. When you get it, call me and I'll explain it. I'll explain it to you because it did need some explaining. And so when we were down on our vacation here, when we were just down in Florida, he received it, and I get a phone call from him. Praise the Lord. And at first he was like, he was so excited about it. He said, Pastor Jeff, what did he say? I love it. But can you tell me what it is? Which I knew would probably be the reaction, but it was just so sweet. It was just so sweet. And I explained to him what it was. And when he got the explanation, it was very symbolic, and it was big to him. It meant a lot to him. And Pastor Ramos, he was talking about it, and then all of a sudden, I noticed a change in his voice. And this is part of why I'm telling you all this, because there's different parts to this story. There's the part of listening. There's a part of understanding, perceiving. Amen. But learning how the Lord works through the one that I'm talking to, the one that I'm with, the one that we're connected with. Amen. When his voice changed and he started speaking in such a way, I knew that something was happening. I knew that what was going on was more than just a thank you, but now it went into something else. And he started prophesying. Right there, my wife and I are sitting there in the bedroom of the Airbnb we're staying at, and he's prophesying to us down there in Florida. We're just like, we're just like, we want hands laid on us, but we can't have that. We're 3,000 miles apart. But he spoke specifically, and the first things that he started speaking, when I recognized that that's what it was, the first things that he started speaking, I cannot tell you, are things that he had no way of knowing, but were so important to our direction and everything that's been going on in my life and the direction of my life and direction of things. It was very specific for it. And he was almost, even as he was saying it, was almost saying it like, I don't know why I'm saying this kind of thing, but it was more than that. And so, but there was a few things that the reason I'm sharing all this is because in this, there are people that would have somebody, and I've had that happen with me, where the Lord has dealt with me to share something with somebody, and they've received it like, okay, cool, yay. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And I've seen people do that with other ministers too. It's not just me. That when the Spirit of God is moving, they haven't learned to recognize that there's a transaction that's happening and that they're speaking into their lives. So how does this have anything to do with works, Pastor Jeff? Because there is direction, there is specific direction in some of these things that you need to know that will be the blessing in your life. They will be the answers to the things that you're seeking. See, we will seek things. We will be looking, okay, where is it? Where is it? How can I find this? Did I pray enough? Did I do this enough? And God will deliver the answer, and people won't ever see it because they thought, well, this man just decided to get excited and start telling me something. there was a transaction being placed that we wouldn't have received of if we didn't know it. I had to recognize the direction. I had to recognize how God uses him, because that's the other thing, because how God uses him is very specific. And so because I understood the minister, and not because I've spent more time with every one of you, probably, than I have with him.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But because I perceived those things, because I've recognized those things, we were able to receive from that. And like, here's the thing, when he started speaking to us in that form of prophecy, when he started speaking to us, I didn't feel anything. We're sitting on a bed in Florida, I'm having a regular conversation, and it goes from zero to hero in a second. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden, and so like, it could have been quick and passed us by. You know, I think about Elijah when Elijah was going home to be with the Lord. He said, if you're with me, when I go, you'll receive that thing that you desire.
Yeah.
Elisha made sure he was right with him.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know when he's going to go, but I'm going to be sure I'm there. How do you be sure? Well, you just make sure you're there.
Yeah.
Amen. And see, and it wasn't just that Elisha was there in the, it, like physically there, but he was ready. That he was waiting, when he was following them, it wasn't, God wasn't waiting, okay, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be Tuesday morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's when Elisha will receive it. It wasn't at all what it was about. It was about being there and being connected and receiving. I am going to get something from God because my man of God told me. Praise the Lord. So many times people forego the blessings of their life. I have said to people, I've said to many people in this church, actually remember, I've said several things to several people, and several of them listen, several of them have not. But I remember all of a sudden the Spirit of God started moving on me and said, and I just knew it on the inside, and I didn't stop and say, okay, the Spirit of God is telling me now, right? But I sense God has this for you. There's something that you need to be looking for. Listen, folks, when that transaction happens, then you have to judge that as well. And I'm reluctant. I don't tell people, you know, you got to go get a new job. You got to quit your job and go do this. Or you got to move here. Or you got to go buy this house. Or you got to go buy that. No, I'm not going to say any of that because I could miss it too. But my and plus the Bible tells me not to do that. But the understanding is that there's times that we will receive things only by receiving them the way God has designed them to be, to perceive. Perception is important. I had to recognize how God uses him, even to certain sounds, certain actions. I am not talking about being obsessed with a man. I am certainly not obsessed with Pastor Ramos. I love Pastor Ramos. I embrace him every time I see him, but I'm not obsessed with him. You know, I don't have a giant poster in my bedroom of Pastor Ramos. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That would be weird, yeah. But I do recognize, amen, certain speech, certain actions. I had, and then on top of that, I had to receive it as direction, realizing that God was speaking to me through the one that he has connected me to. Now, Pastor Ramos never forced me to be connected to him. But the Lord connected me, and I received that. I recognized that, and because I recognized that, I received from it. Like, you can receive it, but then you can receive from it. There's a difference between receiving it and receiving from it. Amen? Faith has a corresponding action to it. If somebody prophesied something over your life, and it was, let's just say for the sake of argument, that it was accurate, that doesn't mean it's just going to come to pass. Prophecy doesn't work that way. Why? Because God has given each and every one of us this wonderful thing we love called free will. You have a will that you can choose whether you will receive from God or whether you will not receive from God. I'm going to give you a little clue to something. The promises in here, if they're written for you, they are true. And they are for you. They are non-negotiable as far as God's concerned. The question is, are they non-negotable as far as you are concerned? Are the directives, the directions, the things that God will do in your lives, praise the Lord, are these specific things, are these to help you or they are meant to help you. These directions that God gives you, they are meant to help you and get you through into those things. This isn't something that's hard to understand. It is scriptural knowledge. These people got it, but the church today doesn't. You know why? Because the church today throws out, well, anybody can be the pastor just as long as they want to stand in the pulpit. If they can, they have the gift of gab, so they should be a pastor. I've said this for a long time. Just because you can preach doesn't mean you should. Praise the Lord. You know who needs to be in the pulpit? Whoever God gave the message to. Glory, if God stops giving me the message, I'm going to stop standing here. I won't like it, because that's the other thing. You know, there's other, you learn to love God. But we don't need to be heard. We don't need to be, we only need what God is delivering. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Faith has a corresponding action to it. I want to pull up a Proverbs 29:18. I meant to have you pull that up, Ezra. So if you could just pull that up, the whole scripture. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Remember, recently we were talking about this, but it applies here. You know that to cast off restraint literally means they are exposed, they go bare, they let loose. They're basically wild. Yeah. You ever seen a wild kid that's not restrained? You're just all over the place. Yeah. Amen? Basically any two-year-old or three-year-old. I mean, sometimes even, praise the Lord, cast off restraint. Where there is no revelation, people need that revelation of the word. They need understanding. They need direction. Revelation is not something... actually, maybe if the Lord allows me, we'll be preaching on the difference between revelation and just regular knowledge on Sunday, amen? Because there is a difference, and we need to understand there's a difference. You can have a lot of knowledge of the word, and it does nothing for you. You need revelation of the word, amen? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Where the people can't, we have to be careful before I get there. The people cast off restraint. They run away. When people don't have revelation of these things, they just, everything is up in the air. And that's exactly what you see in their lives. God's word always leads people to peace, stability, joy. There's direction, always. That's what God's word always does. If your life does not have the fruits of the Spirit, somewhere there's a disconnect. Remember the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5 that we talk about so often? Glory to God. I'm still working on being able to memorize every one of them and repeat them just off the top of my head. But we know the first few are love, joy, and peace. Glory to God. Kindness, long-suffering. Some others in there, they're real good too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we self-control, yeah. These are fruits of the Spirit. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. My God, you've never seen me drive when I'm on a road trip. She has. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I would just say that I'm not the greatest of my spirituality at that time. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, you get mad at everybody because everybody's not doing what you want them to do. But see, revelation will teach you that every once in a while, you do that same thing. See, that's the other side of this stuff. Oh, praise the Lord. The things that you're going to look at and accuse other people of, I guarantee. Remember the Cajun man? Did anyone look him up and figure out who he is yet? Praise the Lord. We've been down this road before, folks. Don't make me do this twice. He guarantees it. I guarantee it. If you're dealing with it, glory to God. Praise the Lord, you're dealing with it. Well, that's all I got to say about that. We have to be careful of the words. I'm going to say some words that I've heard many times, but I've said these words. We have to be careful of these words. You ready? Yeah. These are not swear words like that. Amen. But they are swear words, kind of. I don't see it that way. We have to be very careful of that thought. Because the thought process behind the words, I don't see it that way, are very dangerous. What it indicates is that in your mind, truth is subjective. That truth can be, well, listen, somebody can have more revelation of the truth, and you can receive that. But if there's a truth that's being presented, we have to not be so quick to have a stinking opinion. Yeah. We have to be quick not to have an opinion about truth. Amen? Now, listen, if something's not proven, it's not proven. But the reason that so many people argue about this book right here is because a lot of people are arguing opinions. They're not arguing truth. They're arguing opinions, not revelation. They're not speaking from a place of revelation. I have had I have had people argue with me so many times as a pastor, and I'm going to tell you where it's come from, because it always comes from the same place. It's people that have come in with religious past. They're the worst in dealing with. I'm just telling you the truth. I was there too, because we're still working those things out of me too. But they come in with a religious past. This is what I was taught. This is what I always believed. And then you're preaching something different.
Yeah.
Did God bring you here or not? Because
yeah.
If he brought you here, there's truth you need to get.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't know everything. You need to understand that. And until you're willing to submit and at least look at it, until you're willing to open the door and say, into your heart and say, this could be truth, because I'm going to tell you the truth. I've done this even this year. I've looked at things that I've been so anti. I've looked at them and I thought, well, wait a minute. I guess I was wrong.
Yeah.
Because I had a heart to be changed.
Yeah.
See, if you don't have a heart to be changed, then you can't know the truth. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. If there is an anointing on the one that's standing in the pulpit, then there is truth that's being preached. Now, not everything that I say is coming out of my mouth is God. I'm going to tell you that right now. There are plenty of times when I've spoken out of my own spirit or my own heart and not what God has told me to.
Sure.
Praise the Lord. But those aren't things generally that are preached on a lot.
Yeah.
Those would be a moment passing here and there. Maybe you'll hear something here and there. You know what I mean? That will be just my... And usually those things will be in the forms of opinions. And I've learned that even opinions that I thought were accurate, even though I thought they were based in the Word of God, opinions generally are subjective too.
Yeah.
Because opinions can be changed according to a lot of different things. Because I'm just going to tell you the truth. When you want to judge somebody else and what they're doing, this is the thing you have to understand. You don't know everything. You don't see every angle. You don't know where they came from. You don't know what they did. You don't know what... I've seen people judge people, and it's made me mad. Good Christians judging people. I'm like, you don't know where they came from. You don't know what they went through. You don't know what happened in their life. So you're sitting there just going to tear them apart. God shows me that about people all the time. There'll be people that'll be hard to deal with as a pastor. They'll be hard to deal with, and God will show me something in their life, and it'll melt my heart. I'll just be like... I repent before the Lord because I thought that way about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Where's that scripture? Let me see here. Bear with me a second. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at this. In James 4. In verse 11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? Now, of course, that's not talking about judging, you know, obviously if somebody's living in sin or something like that. It's not talking about judging that. We can look at somebody, like that's always annoying when somebody's living in sin and you say, hey, you're living in sin. They're like, don't judge me. Listen, you're living in sin. You're doing wrong. You need to be judged.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You know, if you swat your kids on the rear end for doing something, you just judge them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And corrected them all in one fell swoop. Amen?
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a smack and, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But what I'm talking about is when we look into other people's lives and we want to start picking them apart. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. We have to be careful of the words. I don't see it that way. I want to get back to that.
Yeah.
We have to be careful of that because, again, we look at that when we look at things that way, what we're saying is that the truth is subjective, that things that, that what's coming out might be true or what might not be. And it's not... Typically, whenever I've had that said to me, that person hasn't even listened to what I've said.
Right. Yeah.
Typically, that's always the case. And so I'll just be honest with you. The word tells us to be slow to speak.
Yeah.
People have a quick answer. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
People have a quick answer for something.
Mm-hmm.
Be slow to speak.
That's good.
Hallelujah. Acts 28. I know we're going a little bit long here tonight, but I did want to get here. Huh? No, Acts 28. Acts 28, verse 23. Praise Jesus. I want to reiterate, because the works that we're talking about is the... I really want to get to this point. The directions that God gives us in life, the little things that he gives us, there has to be a work that correlates with it. There's things that we have to embrace about that, because we can't do that. You know, like I've said, I remember it was Josh and Rachel. They were Rachel was out here. She had this old beater car when she first started coming here. And when I walk out to the parking lot, it was just something that I would look over at it, and it wasn't that I was judging her, being like, "Oh, you got a beater car, you're a worthless Christian." It wasn't anything like that at all. But I would look at or over it, and just in my spirit, specifically in this one time, if you got an old beater car, this doesn't necessarily apply to you. This applied to her. But I said to her, I was like, "The Lord has," or I said to you, I think something like, "There's a nicer car for you." Do you remember what I said? Something like that. There's a better car for you. Or it's time for a better car, or something like that. It's time, or something like that. It's now is the time. Now, Rachel, she's been taught well. She received it very well. She's like, "Praise the Lord," and got excited about it. Yeah. That's the way to receive that.
Yeah.
You understand, like that. That's a direction. That was a spiritual transaction. The Lord impressed them. I don't look at everybody's car out there and going, "Okay, it's time for you to get a new car. It's time for you to," or even think about that stuff. I don't get, because here's the thing. We all go through periods of time. Sometimes there's time for you to drive a beater. And I'm just going to tell you, a lot of faith people will say, oh, there isn't time for you to, yeah, there's time where you should have nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why, because when you have nothing, you appreciate something.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of nothing in our life, and we've had a lot of something. And I'll just tell you one thing. We appreciate the something so much more. Amen. But we don't have to have the something either. Our life isn't all about the something. Glory to God. But the Lord put it on my heart, and I shared that. That's revelation. Do something with that. You know, and I assume she did, because she ended up in a new, a better car than what she had. And even today, I mean, better, you know what I mean? It's just, it'll always increase. And that's the way it should. Not that life is about that. I'm talking about specifically, though, receiving things from God that he wants to do in our lives. Sometimes they will be directed in ways like that. Listen, if you can't see it, and let's face it, we're all at different times. We're at places where we just can't see it. We just can't see how God could get us out of the mess. That's why we need revelation knowledge, that he's got something more for us. And he's going to do that through somebody who has faith, or somebody who's been down that road. He's going to deliver it that way. And so we have to be willing to receive that. That doesn't mean that if somebody starts out there, starts prophesying, that everybody's going to get nice this, nice that, and you understand. You got to know where you're feeding from. Amen? Sometimes it's good to know the cook. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes we go to a restaurant in faith. It's not always great to do that. There's some restaurants, when you find out a little truth, you won't go back to them. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I had like one like that growing up, but I liked the waitress, so I kept going to it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So that's what I'm trying to get at, is that the works that I'm talking about is the perceiving and the listening and then the receiving from that. The things that Pastor Noel prophesied over us that day on the phone, they haven't come to pass yet.
No.
But we received them as though they did.
Yeah.
We received them. This is now. This is it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're jumping on board with that.
Yes.
Glory to God. Acts 28:23. Amen. So when they had appointed him a day, this is talking about the Jews, when Paul went to Rome, and he went there in chains. Remember, he was appealing to Caesar, and he was there trying to get the Jews to receive Jesus. Because after all, Jesus came for them.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But then it was extended to us. Praise the Lord. So when they had appointed him a day that he could talk to them, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. Now that's a church service. Hallelujah. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. And basically, it was not just one word, but what he's about to say. They weren't agreeing on what Paul was saying. He was presenting to them the gospel. He was presenting to them the truth. And as he was doing so, some were believing him, and some were like, "Nah, I don't believe this at all." And so they're arguing amongst themselves, right? But then he says something that bothers them all. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive." You can sit in church and hear the word of God preached to you, every answer you need for your life, but because you didn't perceive, because you didn't connect to it, because you didn't receive from it, you received nothing. The promise is negated in your life. "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, that I should heal them." Praise the Lord. Did I want to go further with that? No, that was as far. The people sat and they listened to the word being preached. And obviously it was convincing. Obviously they sat there. They sat there where Paul was, by the way. He didn't come to them, but they came to him. Yeah. They sat there where he was from morning till night listening to what this man says. And some of them rejected it, but all of them lost it because they all walked away because they got offended by what was being said. See, if what is being said is in the word, you can't argue it. If it's not in the word, well, then maybe there's some, you know, if I'm just getting up here giving opinions and stuff like that. But people don't receive what God has for them so often because they don't receive the one who's standing in the pulpit because it's just a man because of their offense. There was thousands of times I was offended at my pastor. Praise the Lord. And I had to learn to put all of those down because in offense, with a heart of offense, I could hear nothing. I said, with a heart of offense, you can hear nothing. Nothing. And God can't bless you. And so if you deal with offense, the thing that you have to understand, the thing that you have to understand about that is it will keep you from the blessings of God. You can pray, you can do everything else right. But offense will keep you. Why? Because offense is division in the body of Christ, and God hates division. If he has set you here or anywhere, he has set you there for a purpose. You are to receive what God has for you there. Though, like I said, and you will learn over time, you'll learn that, you know, if we're just in conversation, there's times I'm in conversation and my pastor's talking to me and I'm like, that's Tim Stallman speaking. And then there's times where that he's talking to me and I'm like, no, that's God. That's Pastor Tim. That's the office speaking to me. You understand? Like sometimes there's been like literally we're just talking about things in life or whatever. That, you know, not everything I say to you, like I'm not going to have every directive for your life. Yeah. Glory to God. And nobody should. You know, that's not the way we should. But we have to understand that there's, if we, and here's the other side of this. If we will receive from that spiritual transaction, it will happen more. Yeah. Yeah. I receive a lot from my pastor, not because I'm more special than anyone else, but because I'm there listening. Yeah. Because I'm there receiving. I'm like, when I get into the car with him, when we go on a trip, I've got questions lined up. Yeah. Got them all lined up. I've got notes in here that say in my phone that Pastor Tim. I've got a section for Pastor Tim. I have a section for Reverend Greer. I have a section for Pastor Michael. I have a section for Pastor Nancy. I have for any Pastor Noel. Anybody I sit with that I'm going to receive from, I have a section of notes. I don't always go back and look at those notes, like I'm not spending all my time in them, but I take note of what's being said. There have been times where I've been like, you know, where something maybe is more of an opinion or something that I haven't received. But what I've found is even in those moments, if I come with a heart to receive, God will always deliver me things that I need to know. He will always deliver me things that I need to hear. There was something very specific when I was in Pensacola this year that I wanted to get a chance to ask Reverend Greer. And it was something he had said in the pulpit a long time ago. He had only touched on, but it was just one little obscure thing, but I knew there was more nugget in it. Amen. And I wanted to know. And see, that's what I look for. That's one of the things I look for. And so as I was sitting there throughout the meetings, I was hoping that I'd get a lunch with him or something where I could sit with him. When I was in Pensacola, we didn't get any lunches. I didn't get to sit with him and talk with him at all. Just, hi, good to see you, you know, kind of thing. But the last night, and I come there hungry, the last night that I was there, he's preaching, and he talks about that subject for a brief second, and he answered specifically the question that I was asking. He had no idea I was asking him or wanting to know it. Like, praise the Lord, I didn't even have to sit with him. And I like to sit with him, you understand. But my point is that for whatever reason, it couldn't happen that time, and I still got fed. See, if we will receive, if we will honor those giftings, not the man, not the woman, but we'll honor the giftings, we'll receive from those and expect that, and then do something with that, God will bring more through that gift. He will open the door for more for it to come. I know I'm going over here a little bit. We're not going to pray tonight, but I kind of knew that would happen. But I really felt that it was important to get into this because there's things, again, and I work very difficult or very hard not to be a person, not to be a pastor who directs everybody specifically in their lives. You all know because I'm not calling you up telling you what you need to do. In fact, Josh got into something one time, and he told me later on that he wasn't going to do it anymore, that he didn't think it was fruitful. Do you remember this? And I told you, I said, yeah, I knew that all along. He said, why didn't you tell me? I said, well, you didn't ask me. But specifically, I mean, Josh is, we get together and talk about things and stuff like that. And but just specifically about that thing, you know. But it wasn't my job to do that. It was his job to hear from the Holy Ghost. But there's things that come out in conversation at times that will direct, and that's the beauty of the gifting, is that it doesn't always have to be that specific. You understand? I don't call you all up trying to run your lives, trying to direct you. But as we listen and understand that these giftings are not in vessels that are perfect, but they're in vessels that are imperfect. I'm not going to do everything you like and like every color that you like, and you know, I like sushi, you don't, kind of thing. You know, it's that could be the way that it is. We might not have a lot of that interaction, but you can receive from the gifting if you receive right. And it's not just me, it's anyone. Pastor Scott was here. This is the same thing. You have the same expectation. Praise the Lord. I could go further with that, but we don't have time. I do want to close one scripture because we like to take it out on good note. I know. Luke 8:18 says, therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. He who does not have, what is that? He who has an ear to hear. Yeah. If you have an ear to hear, more will be given to you. Yeah. But if you don't have an ear to hear, even what you seem to have will be gone. Yeah. It'll be pilfered away. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not doing something in my life that he won't do in your life. Right. And he's not doing something in your life that he wouldn't do in my life. It's not that we need to be looking at each other's life saying, that's what I need to get, but we just need to understand that God wants to do good in all our lives. And if there isn't good in our lives, it's not on God's end. And so the quicker we are to receive that and understand that, the quicker we'll get into those things that he has for us. And again, I'm not preaching this message for a point of saying, you know, you got to line your pockets and you got to become rich and stuff like that. Because everything God gives you is subject for the kingdom of God. You just got to know that. Everything. There's nothing that we own that we will withhold from God if he tells us to give it. If God told me to sell my house and give the proceeds, if there would be some. If he said, sell your house and give the proceeds to the church, my wife and I would do that, absolutely. Yeah. Or do whatever, you know, was necessary, glory to God. And that needs to be the heart of people. We need to understand that increase is to increase the kingdom. But God also wants to do things in our lives as well. I can't say enough. You have to perceive, and then you have to participate. If you are going to receive from God, it takes works. It takes you doing something more than just showing up, than just being there. It takes you trusting in the methods that God uses. Amen?